Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the 5 Heart Podcast, brought to you by Corn Nation and hosted on JitteryMonkey.com. That's the podcast network that I founded back in 2013. And before we get to the show, quick plug, because the shows are on iTunes, but you can listen to my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. It's a pro wrestling podcast, or you can listen to Nerds United. That's my other podcast, although I'm a little bit behind. That is a comic books, movies, TV show related, pop culture, nerdy stuff podcast that I first episode dropped in June of 2013 with a Nebraska native and UNL alum and comic book creator. He's a writer, and he's from I already forgot the small town of Nebraska that he's from, but Van Jensen was the first guest way back in June of 2003. Anyway, that's JitteryMonkey.com. This is a Coronation podcast, the 5 Heart Podcast, episode 5. I am Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend and broadcast podcast buddy, Brian Toll. Brian, good talking with you again, sir, as the Nebraska Cornhuskers are now 4-0 and 1-0 in Big Ten play.
You remember the show Name That Tune?
Oh, yeah, because I can name that tune in 3 notes. And then somebody says, I can name that tune in 2 notes, and you say, name that tune.
Well, think about this.
Uh-huh.
Imagine the sad sap that had to learn how to, like, especially if you had today, the guy had to sing, jazzy lounge music to, like, rock or something like that, or rap. Think about that. Would that be just the weirdest job in the world? What do you do for a living? I sing California Dreamin' in a lounge voice.
Yeah, no. The thing about Name That Tune was that it was only one note or two notes.
Yeah, but
there were no
yeah, but
once
words. Once they named it, they went like the first bar of it. You know, they did. Yeah.
What, like, you know, like they would sing the song a little bit, you mean?
They'd play the first, like, bar of the song, yeah. The first, like, verse.
Not really.
Kind of. Look on YouTube, dude.
But at the same time, you got to remember, though, like, when to name that tune, like, the good Name That Tune with the rotary timer. When did that stop? They probably stopped making new episodes of that in, like, 83, 84.
When I was a kid, you bastard.
83, 84, man.
I was, like, 7, 8 years old.
What year were you born?
76.
Okay, so 83, 84 would have put you at 7 or 8, dumbass.
I still remember that.
That's what I'm saying. I remember probably catching it in syndication when I was 5 or 6. You know, and that was a little bit later in the 80s. But, I mean, long story short is, music was a lot different. I think that they were, you know, using...
Yeah, but imagine doing it now.
Oh, geez, if doing it now, half the notes that they would give you would have to be auto-tuned.
In the city of Compton, keep it rocking.
I just don't think that's how they would present it. I think, you know, like they could put Empire State of Mind up there, and I don't think that they would lounge it out like that. I think they would keep it true to the style of the song from its origin.
You don't think they like lounge out, left the bodies at the floor? 1, nothing wrong with me. 2, nothing wrong with me. 3, nothing wrong with me. 4, nothing wrong with me.
I don't, but I know that this is the most entertaining 3 minutes of the 5 Heart Podcast, or probably any other podcast we've ever done in the past, because you're singing, Brian, and my heart is swollen with joy.
I think you're clinically high then. So
no, but to answer your question, no, I don't believe that they would. First of all, how do I put this gently and tenderly? In what world are they using hard rock music in a primetime, you know, game show setting? It's not going to happen. Hmm.
Game hipsters.
No, I don't think it's happening. I don't think anybody's, you know, putting Drowning Pool out there or Disturbed. I mean, if you think about it, and I asked this to a friend of mine who recently saw Disturbed in concert, and I asked him, I said, did they play, you know, the Sound of Silence cover, you know, the classic Simon and Garfunkel, you know, song that they did, I don't know if they did on Kimmel or Fallon or what, and it was very popular. I said, did they play that? And they said, that was probably the best song they played. And I'm like, really? Because I remember a Disturbed that was very different. Like Down with the Sickness, that's, and Stupefy, that's the Disturbed I remember from my youngin' days. But how about those Huskers, huh? They're 4-0.
Maybe I'm worried about Disturbed because ever since that whole put your cell phone down stuff, it's kind of been like, you know, no, I don't need to listen to that bad. Maybe I'm weird on like that.
Oh, is that like they said something at a concert or?
Yeah, they were playing something and someone had her phone up, and one person out of like 20,000 had their phone up, and what's his name just straight up embarrassed her, and I'm like, you know, everybody does it, you know.
Here's the thing about that, it's a lot like, you know, going, you know, paying your ticket and going to a Nebraska game. You pay your $40 or whatever it is. Which I don't know what $40 would get you at Memorial Stadium. But you pay your money and you should be able to, you know, within reason, be a fan in any way that you so choose. I know that there are certain, intellectual property, you know, laws that prevent you from filming. I remember, just to show, you know, hell, I'm a nerd. We've established that the year was 2010. And I had actually won a contest from a St. Louis TV station. I won two tickets to see Star Wars the concert, or Star Wars in concert, which is pretty much kind of what you think of. They have a few like scenes that they show on the screen, but it's a symphony, and they're playing the score, John Williams' score from the Star Wars movies. And Anthony Daniels was there, and he was, the actor who played C-3PO, and he's kind of your guide, your narrator through it all, and they have pyro and lights, and it was a pretty good time. But, you know, at one point I was trying to record some of the stuff, and an usher came over and be like, you got to put that down. I said, okay. And they said, now make sure you delete the video. I said, seriously? And she watched me as I deleted the video. So this is before, you know, like you could save it on your smartphone and then come and, you know, bring it back an hour later. It was gone. Yeah. It was gone for good.
I don't get why people do that. Because why allow you to come watch it? You know,
I mean, to an extent, I guess, you know, you know, you're supposed to be there in the moment, but I stand by this statement, and I'm going to catch some hell for this, especially since we were just talking about, like Disturbed and Drowning Pool and things like that. But the most fun that I've ever had at a concert was December of 2014, when my wife and I went and saw Trans-Siberian Orchestra. For whatever reason, there was something about that show that was just thoroughly enjoyable across the board. So, you know, haven't been to a concert since, and didn't get the tickets that I wanted to get for a Trans-Siberian Orchestra this December, so we didn't go. We're not going.
It's okay. It'll be okay.
Yeah, we're fine. We're cool.
No, it's fine. We're going to be okay. So, let's talk about...
How about the undefeated Nebraska women's volleyball team? Top ranked.
They're good, but how about Nebraska football?
Was it Jill in the Slack or in the email conversation that says, you know, there's only one school across the country that has an undefeated volleyball and undefeated football team, and it's Nebraska?
That was Chris Pankinen on Twitter. Sorry.
Was it?
It was.
All right. Did Jill point it out into the Slack chat group? Because
probably.
Yeah. See, Jill gets all the credit because I can't follow everybody on Twitter, guys. I'm not going to. There's way too many people on Twitter for me to follow everybody on Twitter.
By the way, this podcast today is sponsored by Raising Cane's of Grand Prairie, Texas.
And a dual sponsor, A&W Root Beer. Because while I was waiting for Brian to get to a place where he could record, I had myself an A&W Root Beer float. Ballin'.
Hipster.
Hell no, man. That's old school. That's nostalgia. That's being a kid and staying the week at my grandparents and having... Yeah, you know, having my grandpa make me a root beer float or an orange crush float. That's ain't nothing hipster about that, man. That's all feels. That's my feels.
So Nebraska's 4-0.
We'll get there eventually. What else do we want to talk about before we talk about the game?
Well, this is for the seven people who have not turned it off yet.
How many, seven?
Yeah, I'm stretching too, but
that's a good ballpark number.
4-0. And they didn't have a great first quarter last week, but they played well. The offense was good.
Offense had an opportunity to be a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, they got to finish drives. There's two drives they didn't finish. You know, losing the ball twice on your own goal line is a problem. I mean, and the defense didn't play great, I didn't think. I mean, the two long, you know, Nebraska's something kind of creepy about Nebraska that you kind of want to keep in the back of your mind right now. They've given up the most 40-plus yard runs. Anybody FBS right now? It's only four, but still, that's a lot.
That's one per game.
Yep. It is one per game. They had two give it up, I think, against Northwestern.
Yeah, and you know, we knew this kind of coming in, but Thorson's a unique quarterback, and I think he's. Did I hear he's a junior, sophomore?
Junior.
All right, so we've got to deal with him again next year, but. I don't know. I'm liking the direction that the defense is heading. I mean, I think that, you know, they're playing much better than – I think, honestly, they're probably exceeding expectations through four games this season. You got to like the way the secondary has been, you know, making plays. And again, when five of those picks come against Wyoming, you're not really sure, you know, how – it might not be the best litmus test. But, you know, like I said, I'm overall pretty pleased with how.
I think it's fair to say that the back seven has improved enough to where the worries we had about the offense, the defensive line is almost, I wouldn't say all gone, but pretty calmed down.
Do you think it's fair to say that through four games, even the defensive line has, again, I don't want to sound repetitious, but exceeded expectation when you think of Kevin Maurice and Ross DeZuris and Freedom. I mean, I haven't heard Freedom's name as much, but I've said it before, Ross DeZuris is doing very well, and there's something about that, you know, kind of walk-on edge rush guy. I mean, last year it was Gangwish who came on and had a good season. I mean, didn't you know, blow your hair back, but was a solid defensive contributor, and I think DeZuris has filled into that spot nicely. I don't know. Maybe it's because we entered the season with such low expectations that they're easy to be exceeded, but I'm pleased with the defensive play through four games.
I think the thing about the defensive line is, and it's what I said about DeZuris before, he's smart enough to know what needs to be done in the play. I think if he had an All-American, if he was an All-American player, as in like he could get off blocks and everything and make this special play every once in a while, he'd be an All-American. Brain-wise, he knows what the scheme is, what the play is, how to put himself in a good position. I think that's fair to say.
So he has the knowledge about it, but sometimes the physical ability.
But yeah, it's like a guy, you know, he'll never take himself out of a play, very rarely will, but he's never going to do anything special to put himself in a, you know, make an absolutely inhumane, you know, insane play. See what I'm starting to say?
Yeah, I do. I understand exactly what you're saying.
But I also think that the problem that we knew was coming this year, because it was an issue last year, was that there's no pass rush when there's only four coming. Very rarely has it been, you know, I mean, if you think about it, Nebraska's played pretty well secondary-wise for that aspect because it's not a whole heck of a lot better than it was last season. It simply is not. Okay, so I think the one thing that Nebraska's tried to do is they've tried to go to that 30 front where they got three down linemen and then they're sending, you know, maybe an extra backer or a stand-up guy to go. And that seems to be their best option when it comes to creating a pass rush, especially on third down, third and middle, like third and seven, third and eight, that really is kind of helping that line because there's only one real big time. I don't remember a big pass rush in the Northwest game. The last big pass rush I remember with four was the last set of the Oregon game where Freedom got the strip and everything like that on that third down play. So I think that's something Nebraska's going to have to recruit better next year, and they're already trying to, and they're trying to get guys like Watts, going to get a guy like a Porsche. They need to recruit a little better when it comes. They got run stuffers. That's not the problem. The problem is they got to recruit pass rushers better, physical pass rushers, and that's the issue right now with Nebraska's recruiting. So, whatever you just broke.
Oh, me on my end?
Yeah.
No, I've got two dogs who are in my face and wanting to go out, and I just keep putting them off. And so they step back and they, you know, shake their head and their floppy ears go everywhere. And that's what I'm dealing with.
You know what I deal with? I deal with cats that want to get fed, and then they use the litter box and come up and stand on my computer, and you're like, cool. Solid, yeah, you pricks.
That's not kosher.
No, it's not, and it makes me go through a lot of 409. So they don't care, though. They're assholes. They're cats.
They are cats. Cats are little
cats are assholes. You can say it.
I was going to say shitheads. This is the direction that I took it.
So big recruiting weekend.
Yes.
Got a five-star making his third visit.
Well, now, hold on. Is that all we're going to say about the Northwestern game?
Well, I think offensively, Nebraska was pretty good offensively.
I just want to mention him by name because he's doing a bang up job on coordination.com. Mr. Ryan Reuter. Mm-hmm. Reuter, hardly even knew her.
Terrible.
That's just for you. But he did a really good breakdown of the offensive scheme for that Northwestern game and how, you know, spreading the ball out was working so well because the Wildcats were trying to jam the middle, and talking about the unsung heroes of, you know, the wide receiver core who are, you know, they're getting their catches when they can, but they're doing a tremendous job downfield blocking. And then you got to talk about the Big Ten Conference Offensive Player of the Week, Tommy Armstrong. Come on, Brian, Tommy Armstrong. You got to talk about him. Two games in a row, he's just put it all out there. Tommy Armstrong.
Anyhow.
Sorry.
I think you've kind of milked that cow or spitting powder, Bubba.
This is what I can say. I can say it's late. I've got a little sugar in me, and it's the only thing keeping me awake right now. So.
One other thing I'll say about Armstrong, and I just worry that he's going to go down for a quarter or a half because of how much Nebraska's running him.
I figure that's where you're going with that, is are they running him too much?
Saw it against Oregon. It's not even so much that they runs too much because think about this. Would you rather have him running for a three-yard gain or trying to throw a three-yard out?
Yeah.
I mean, he's cut down the turnovers significantly.
Still makes a questionable decision from time to time. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, every quarterback's going to do that. That's fine. I can live with sometimes they make a questionable decision. My thing is that they don't make play after play that puts you in peril through the game. You know, I think that's a fair statement to make because, you know, come next year, they're going to throw the ball a little more.
A little bit.
And Yeah, and it's going to, you know, well, run Tanner, run. You know, Tanner's not really got a big body. Patrick, I guess you can run a little bit. He's a little bigger. Tristan's going to need to hit runs a little bit. So,
I would hope, and this, as you mentioned, you know, there's a recruit coming in for his third visit to Lincoln, and I would hope that, you know, some of these out-of-state guys are coming in and be like, Runza? What in the world's a Runza? I want to go there. You know, like, not being prodded or pressed or anything about it, you know, not, you know, getting, you know, like a Ross Desert to say, like, you know, dude, you got to come check out Runza. Let's go. But just be like, what in the world's a Runza? Going inside, getting a Runza?
I don't think Joseph Lewis from Fresno, California, the second best receiver in America, is going to be like, you know, I have to. I know I'm from SoCal, but I need some cabbage coming out of my ass to make sure I can make the right decision.
You don't know that.
I'm going to guess. I'm not saying I do know that. You
know. Ow, shit. I got to take these dogs out. One of them just bit my nipple. Okay, I'm back. Had to take the dogs outside because they're assholes. Walk me through this because I'm pretty dumb to the whole recruiting thing. How many trips, how many visits does the university pay for?
They pay for one per kid, mm-hmm. With parents, mom and dad.
Yeah, which is a new rule, which is beautiful.
Parents or guardians, whatever you call them. You can host up to 56 in a year starting from the first week in August. It starts when the prospective student athlete starts their season as and has their first game.
Gotcha. So
the last physical day you could take an official visit is the week this up to the Saturday before National Signing Day, because once that Sunday comes, it's considered a dead period where coaches cannot contact you. You can contact coaches, but they cannot initiate. You must initiate them.
So this is Mr. Lewis's third visit to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Did he take a visit last season?
He visited for the spring game.
Okay.
No, take that back. He visited for Friday Night Lights, came with Keyshawn and those guys. Then him and his coaches from his high school came. That was the infamous weekend of the Keith Williams DUI.
Aha. Uh-huh. And then, of course, this upcoming week, tomorrow against Illinois. It's homecoming. You're the best person that I can think to ask this, but I mean, that's just because you're our recruiting guru. But I don't know who would be honestly the best person to ask this, except for me. And I'm sure it varies from recruit to recruit. Homecoming week, lots of things going on campus, a little extra energy or buzz around. Does that help in the grand scheme of the recruiting? You know, do they see, because I know every, you know, college, every university has some form of homecoming, so they all have a similar buzz, I would imagine. What would stand out about Nebraska that, you know, like, oh, man, I've never seen this, or what? This is something that only happens in Lincoln.
I think a couple things you look at. First and foremost, I think you think that Williams being back on the sidelines helps. I can't think that he wasn't available in some manner for the other games for kids to not see. That being said, in the stadium, seeing him coach, seeing him how he treats kids during the game, seeing how he helps the offense and such like that, I think that's a big, big deal. But I also think that seeing an actual game, seeing an actual crowd, when the weather's not great, it's not going to be like 100 degrees like it is in SoCal.
Right.
One of the warm states, you know, the southern states, oh, it's never cold here. Well, guess what? Last time I checked, you don't really get that choice when you get drafted in the NFL. You know,
Unless you go to like Detroit that has a dome.
Not even so much Detroit. I mean, think about it. You get picked by Buffalo. You get picked by New England. Yeah, you get to play Florida once a year. You're going to play eight games in Boston.
Washington.
Yeah, you're gonna eight games in Boston.
New York,
Buffalo,
Pittsburgh,
Green Bay.
I've already mentioned Green Bay. You're slacking. Cleveland, Cincinnati. If you think about it, most of the NFL teams, there's probably more that are cold than there are that are. I mean, because even like San Francisco and Oakland can get cold.
If you're using that as a hey, there's something else to do besides football for campus life, I can see it to a fault. But guess what? Lincoln's actually done pretty good in becoming something that's tolerable for recruits to be.
Recruits, if you're listening to this, and I don't know.
It's more than just cornfield. You know, everybody says, "Oh, it's just cornfields." Well, I don't get how you think it's just a bunch of cornfields. We just plopped a big ass stadium right in the middle of it.
Although.
We did put a bathroom around somewhere. We do have a Chipotle. We do serve tacos, gas station here and there.
I got to say, if you're in the Haymarket, you got to go and get some of that, was it frozen yogurt?
Froyo, really?
Is that what it is? Over there, is it ice cream or yogurt? I don't know.
Where?
Right there, like catty corner from Laszlo's.
Oh yeah. It's Froyo. It's yogurt. Yogurt.
Yeah,
yogurt.
That's what I said, jackass. And you're like, Froyo, really?
I couldn't remember you, parent of a Kansas football player.
Oh, come on now. Why'd you have to go that deep? You cut me. You cut me real bad.
Well, at least they scored against Texas Tech.
Well, you know.
Not much, but hey.
Who else do we have coming in this weekend, Mr. Recruiter?
You should. Well, if you had looked at the list that I put up on coronation.com Thursday morning.
Maybe I did, but what if somebody else didn't? You can't just think that I'm missing posts.
Hold on.
It's not just about me. It's about all of us.
I think the big target besides Lewis, obviously, because Lewis is going to take his visits and go to the U.S. Army All-American game probably to announce. I think one of the bigger targets that Nebraska kind of would like to hope commits right now is Jalen Johnson. He's the 6-foot cornerback out of Fresno, which is kind of roughly where – kind of ballpark is where Joseph lives. He's just a little south of where Lewis plays. But he's also buddies with Lamar Jackson, the freshman. Mm-hmm. Defensive back at Nebraska. I think that's a big push. I think what Nebraska can push, and I wouldn't look for something from the Chevin Callaway kid, the Iowa commit that's going to come because he's going to take visits. He's going to go to Arkansas. He's probably going to go visit Texas. I don't think Texas has room for him right now. It'd be kind of interesting to see how Iowa treats him. That being said, I think at cornerback and wideout are the two. And it's kind of a misnomer.
Wait.
We always hear about how many wide receivers we get. We hear about how many quarterbacks we get. That's a lot. There's a lot of playing time up for grabs in those spots.
That Callaway kid. Where's he committed to again?
He is committed to Iowa. Yeah. Well, the fact that he's visiting is pretty much bunking his commitment to him. So,
do we want to talk about Iowa real fast?
No.
I mean, because they're not very good.
No, we don't. Nothing personal. We don't.
All right.
Take that. I think the one kid like you want Ramey, the one guy that we're kind of looking at as a linebacker, Ramey Johnson, out of LA, 4-star guy, decommitted from. He decommitted from UCLA all the way back in May. He visited once already. Says he wants to take his visits, but I kind of wonder if Nebraska is just saying, you know, we may not have spots for you here in the not-too-distant future. Do you want to kind of pull the trigger and get in? And I think that's fair.
I'm going to try to compare recruiting to selling cars.
Christ.
Here we go. Because just of how you just phrased that, When you say, well, you know, we may not have this spot for you here down the road, you better jump in on this great deal, this great opportunity here on this used car. Look, I got somebody else interested in this car. I can't guarantee it's going to be here today. I'm going to need you to sign. Let's get this done. Let's get this deal done right now. What do you say?
Now, that's a fair statement, and I think what Nebraska's doing, they're using some of that with – you could use some of that with a guy like Hodgins. Isaiah Hodgins, really tall kid, 6'4". Okay.
That's the kind of size they need in the secondary.
Well, here's a question, though. You got Jameer Calvin, who Nebraska seems to like a little more, okay, and is leading Nebraska. Do you sit there and say, well, Hodgins wants to commit. Jameer, do you want to commit or not? You know, technically, Hodgins is the better prospect, okay. Do you tell the better prospect, well, you got to wait till our target gets there? No, you really don't. That's something that it's called leverage, obviously. You know that. But something that the previous staff did not really use very well. What would happen with the previous staff is the previous staff would say, well, you want to come in now? No? Okay, well, you think about it later. And then 3 weeks later, oh, well, he didn't really going to commit. I guess we'll move, you know.
This is how Greg Mahochko handles that at the dealership.
Christ.
Now hear me out, Brian, because I just want to lay some knowledge on you. That's all I'm gonna do. You see, I understand that you gotta take your time, think about this. Obviously, this is an investment. It's not something that you're going to just throw a little bit of cash around and call it a day. You're gonna have this vehicle for a good long time. I just wanted to let you know. I've got some other folks who are they're talking about it. They're looking at it. I don't say that to rush you into a decision. I value your time and your investment, but I just want you to know that there are some other folks who are looking at it. That's the only information that I can give you. They haven't given me one way or another. You haven't given me one way or another. At this point, we're not holding it for anybody. It's going to be on a first come first serve basis.
Yeah,
I should be a recruiter.
The problem is there's guys that you're not telling no. You're not telling Joseph – you're not going to fill up and say Joseph Lewis says, oh, I want to commit. Well, yeah, you're taking that commitment.
Yeah.
Okay. There's guys like Callaway if you wanted to commit. You're not telling him no, even though he's a full inch and a half – he's full 2.5 inches shorter than Jalen Johnson. He's ranked pretty much just as high as him. Johnson's the 9th best corner in the class. Callaway's the 11th best corner in the class. Okay. There's – technically, you could tell both. You're not going to not take one or the other. But you also have to remember something. Nebraska still needs a running back in this class. Okay? And the way Nebraska's kind of gone about running backs in with Reggie Davis and Mike Riley is they kind of wait till the end of the cycle to get somebody.
Now, why do you think that is, out of curiosity? Do you think they don't view it as much of a priority or – or do you think that they have other and not to knock the running back position, but do you think that there are other positions on their list? Be like, you know, we really need somebody here. We really need to attack that and make sure we secure that. And this is a bit of a secondary concern. We can get to it a little bit later. I mean, what is your opinion on what's your take on their reasoning?
I think what happens is you go into a class and you say this is the bare bone minimum we can take. Okay, and out of that, this needs to be. There needs to be this spot, there needs to be this much, there needs to be this much. Okay. Now, Nebraska's got 15 kids right now. We got one quarterback. We could probably take two if we really, really wanted to. We're going to take one, though. Okay. Defensive tackles, we have two. We could probably take one more. That's four. Offensive linemen, we have one. Sichtman, we got Brendan James. We got Brock Bando. We could probably fit at the very least one more. Okay. Defensive ends, we got one, two. Probably use one more. Defensive tackles, you only have one. You have two. Take that back, two. You could probably fit one more. Well, wideouts, we could take up to five in this. Okay. Now, look at it. You're saying, well, why'd you take that many? Well, number one, you're losing three this year. You're losing Westerkamp, losing Alonzo Moore, and you're losing Brandon Riley. Okay. Now, here's another issue. Nebraska still probably wants another tight end. They have two in Austin Allen and Reese Lido. They lose three this year. They lose Ethan Carter. They lose Sam Cotton. They lose Trey Foster. Okay. But do you manage, do you throw in the Ben Miles kid to H-back tight end? Okay. That's the number crunch. You know, the other day, Riley said he wanted to take 20 and 21. They'll probably take 23 to 24 because a few things happen. Attrition happens. Okay. There's a lot of kids on that roster that are fourth-year juniors that would be getting their degrees that you say, you know what, you got your degree, go and grad transfer somewhere or whatever, or take a year, but we're going to DQ you. And it sounds mean, and I get it, it absolutely sounds mean, but at the same time, you know, they open up spots. Guys like Adam Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, bless his heart, he's done everything he's asked been. He's been there 4 years. He's a special teams player. He's done all right, but guess what? He's been there 4 years. He's not going to contribute anymore. Right now, he's what, sixth on the roster on the depth chart, you know, and that's just not – that's something he's done wrong. It's his knees that are shot, okay? Mm. Let's look at another guy. You take a guy like just argument's sake, Dwayne Johnson. What's Shane Johnson done since he's been here? He was off the 105 the beginning of the season the last 2 years. He's done, you know, all due respect, he's done not a lot of nothing. Okay. Zach Cannon. Zach Cannon has not really done a whole heck of a lot. And the way they're recruiting, you know, you end up recruiting around kids like that. I mean, it's nothing personal to the kid. You know, they're getting what they're getting fulfilled by the university. They're getting their bachelor's. Okay.
Sure.
And I think it's, you know, and everyone has to say, well, you know, it helps your APR. If you graduate, it's helped your APR anyway. There's nothing more they can do to help your APR after graduating. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly sure, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing else you can do to help a guy's APR after doing that. So, I mean, what do you do with that? You know what I mean? You get more spots open, and then you can oversign because kids leave for whatever reason. You know, they're not happy. The Darian Grimms of the world, the AJ Bushes of the world, you know, those spots open up. So you end up taking that full class, but right now you got to play in for 2021. Okay. It's not fun, but you have to plan for it. And then if you have more that come open, that's great. If it happens after signing day, then, you know, you find somebody with how many hearts?
5 hearts.
And you give them a spot, you know, but, management, you know, there was years of Pelini that, remember, we would get, you know, I don't know how we messed up defensive line recruiting after Sue left, but we did. And we're still kind of paying for it. It's getting a little better. But we're kind of going through guys that probably, you know, Kevin Maurice probably should never come to Nebraska, but yeah, it is what it is on that. We got to use them. You know, Kevin Williams would have been great to help, but he went to Michigan State where he's gotten a grand total of 6 tackles in 4 games. 3 games, sorry. So
we're not bitter, though, are we, Brian?
To him, no.
I you know what, and I might catch hell for this. But, hey, if I catch hell, that means that somebody's listening this far. But, you know, him, Valentine, and Collins, who entered into the draft, and the fourth that we lost just because he stepped away from football. You know,
Greg McMillan.
Thank you. I mean, I'm not bitter or upset about any of them. They, you know, if they think that they are, you know, doing what's best for them, then more power to them. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna. It's very selfish of us as fans, I think, to hold them. I guess, or want to try to hold on to them forever. I mean, obviously, you know, it would have been nice to have all that talent returning up front. I mean, if you think about how the defensive line could have been playing this year with, you know, those four guys, you know, four central veterans, you know, just they'd be mowing over people. But it wasn't meant to be. And at the end of the day, we've got to get over it and be thankful for the guys that we've got who stepped up and are doing the job.
I will say this about McMullen. I have a lot of respect for how he did it, though. Because if you think about it this way, if you don't have a motor in the NFL to want to play football 24/7, 365, okay, you're never going to make it. You're never, ever, ever going to make it. And he has, you know, same theory. He has his degree, you know. He's not cheating anybody. You know, he realized in springtime, hey, it's not going to happen. You know, if it didn't happen with Perlis, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can appreciate that. I'd like to see John with him during fall ball, but guess what? That takes a scholarship away for somebody else. So I can live with that. Kevin, I can't live with because, you know, what was it? The sophomore year, he was the guy that came up and said, no one talks to me because, you know, something about starting yelling at the press. I ain't no backup, something like that. Whatever, buddy. Valentine, guess what? We were all wrong. We all thought he should have stayed. We're all wrong. Collins, yeah, we're wrong on that. Okay. So the guys that we're still trying to get through, though, are the Tovey Okemis, the Todd Peets, the the goobers that we've had to let go because they were too heavy and couldn't get on the, you know, always had the stories printed about them about 6th, 7th, 8th practice of spring ball. Oh, you know, I better get some respect and I get some play. And you never saw them again the whole fall, the whole winter, and they never traveled. But they would tell you how just they're getting shafted. Well, tough break. So, and I'll say this about recruiting. You know, there's 85 guys you always recruit. And I'm just as guilty of this. You pimp every single one of them when they signed and how they're going to contribute. But it doesn't work out for everybody. It simply doesn't work out for everybody. There's 44 spots in the 2-deep. There's 85 guys.
Yeah.
Some guys are buying time. Some guys are just not going to make it. And I get that. Things happen in school. You get homesick. You get injured. You get scared. You're not as good as you are. Things happen. You get a girlfriend. You get, you know, school harder than you thought. Living by yourself harder than you thought. You're two time zones and 4 states away. And I get that. But I think the thing is you need guys. And this is the one thing that always bugged me about Bo's recruiting is this. The more contributors you get in the class, obviously the better off you are. Not everybody's going to contribute. That's fine. The more guys you get fighting with each other to try to contribute, that, you know, the whole steel sharpens steel thing, that's what you're kind of seeing, especially on the offensive line. Okay, you're getting guys that kind of have fought each other. Gerald Foster could definitely be used. Tanner Farmer's going to be missed, but guys like Utter, guys like Knievel, you know, Knievel, I give Knievel hell because sometimes he just doesn't want to hit people, but they're doing pretty well. They're averaging 240-something yards passing, 240 yards of rushing, and Tommy's not getting touched too much. So there's something going on well. You know, there's guys that I thought were complete misses that we're going to miss when they're gone. I thought Stephen Carter was a straight-up bust, and you know I've said that.
Yeah, you know, he's proven himself to be quite the asset.
Yeah, but also, if you think about this, it's because a guy like Langsdorff, a guy like Tavita Thompson have made the point to use him.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the one thing you can – everybody dogs Danny Langsdorff in one of the most – you know, the second – you know, the most ungrateful position to be as Nebraska head coach, the second one is offensive coordinator because everybody has a better plan than you. But if you really can be upset about how Langsdorff's used – all the tools he has in this offense right now this year. If you're upset with that, just stop watching football because you're stupid. Seathan's probably doing as well as he possibly can. Sam Cotton contributes every once in a great while. Westerkamp, yeah, he doesn't get the gaudy numbers. Lonzo's got more of the gaudy numbers, but guess what? Third down, fourth down against Oregon. The whole building, everybody watching the damn game knew the ball was going to.
It was one of those situations of this is, you know, the game plan. Try to stop it, and Oregon couldn't stop it because, and to their credit, I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Tommy Armstrong and Jordan Westerkamp are roommates, so they've built a connection, a bond and a friendship over the last few years, and so you know, they probably play a little catch at the house, you know? I mean,
and I think something else, too, Nebraska's gotten a lot better running it tackle to tackle. And I think the running backs are better. And think about this, you know, Nebraska's offense is humming without a true fullback.
Yeah. You know? I miss the Janovich, equation.
Yeah. You get one of the best ones in the whole group next year in Ben Miles. So, and he can catch the ball, and he looks better than Jano did when Jano was coming out of high school.
No disrespect to Jano, who, by the way, the first time he touched the ball in his NFL career, scampered for a score. Which is, again, Janovich, he built up a legend, that surrounded himself. Let's get off the recruiting path just a little bit.
Thank God.
This is the Brian Toll Show, everybody, and I'm Greg, and I'm the guy.
You think I like talking about this all the time?
No, you probably get tired of it from time to time. Let's talk briefly about the Fighting Illini coming in. Lovie Smith, poor guy. Not poor money wise because Illinois took care of him, and but man, he's in dire straits at Illinois because they're just not very good. What can you say about him? I mean,
thing or is it a coaching thing?
There are people out there who say that Illinois has talent. I've yet to see it, truth be told. I was at that game last year in Champaign, and I was right in that corner of the end zone where Illinois made that late game touchdown that ended up being the game winner. That was a debacle from the word go. So I'm excited that this time Illinois is back in Lincoln, even though I won't be there for obvious reasons. But they're back in Lincoln, and Nebraska's back at home. It's homecoming, and I think it's a 21-point, Nebraska 21-point favorite. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think Nebraska's just going to say, we're back, we're home, let's get back to work. I don't think that Illinois has a prayer, truth be told. And I hope I'm right.
I don't think Nebraska covers, but I think they win comfortably. And then we go in the bye week, and we get nice and healthy. We get Alonzo back, we get Tanner back. We can rest up Brandon Riley. We can Brandon West rest up Tommy.
Is it a concern that Illinois had a bye week and that they had an extra week to prepare for Nebraska?
No, because they lost an FCS team. And they lost all. They lost the ability to do that when they lost that. And they had, if I remember right, I can look this up. They had like less than double digits of rushing that year.
Or that game?
That game, the year, whatever, doesn't matter.
The whole grand scheme of things. It kind of does.
Well, yeah, maybe.
You mean that they tell me that they had single digit rushing?
Murray State, they beat 52-3. So that was Western Michigan.
They lost to Western Michigan. They lost to North Carolina.
Carolina's a lot better than people think.
Yeah.
I will say that. Carolina is a lot better than people think.
But in the ACC right now, I mean, you've still got like the Florida States and the Clemsons, and now obviously this year you have Louisville as well. So there's
net yards rushing for Illinois. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Net yards. Net yards rushing, 3.
And that's against Murray State?
That's against Western Michigan.
Oh, okay.
They gained 32. They lost 29.
Oh, wow.
Now, they did sling the magic mean around the yard to 312 yards.
I would like to see them try to do that against Nebraska.
Let's check the rushing things. Keyshawn Vaughn was 8 carries for 22 total yards. Wes Lunt was 4 carries
for negative
minus 20. He gained 4, he lost 24. They counted it. So now that game they did give up a 190-yard rusher. And
what are you drinking, man?
I'm drinking Cane's lemonade, you fool. I told you.
Yeah, but like still, it's almost midnight and you're over there like slurping away. Put the cup down, Brian.
You know what I calmed down with last night? Iced coffee. But anyway.
Brian.
But they ran Western Michigan ran it 54 times for 280 yards. A 5.3 average.
How many times ballpark or over under? How many times do you think Nebraska rushes the ball this weekend?
45 to 47. I think if it's a decent day, and I think something we have to remember. I think Williams being back, okay, will help Nebraska's offense in that. You know, they play pretty well, but there seems to, you know, he helps with the organization. He'll help with, you know, fine-tuning routes. He will help with finding spots in the zone. That's one thing Keith did very well.
I was going to ask that in his return, do you think, because the wide receivers coach is back, do you think they implement the wide receivers with a bit more of an air game? But you're still thinking that, I mean, they're going to rush it mid to upper 40s. You know, number of rushes. So
I think they're going to do what they did against Oregon a little bit. I think the passing is going to open a little bit of the running, which I think is completely needed because the way Nebraska's offensive line and Illinois' defensive lines are going right now, you're going to kind of sort of have to. I mean, you're going to have you got Farmer out, you got a little gimpy Armstrong. You're going to want 3 steps, boom, get to the edge and everything like that. I think Nebraska needs to use their speed a lot. So
predicting big day for the likes of like Seathan Carter and Jordan Westerkamp.
I think honestly a guy like Brandon Riley's due.
Yeah, he's been
something that's kind of funny about the whole thing. You know, Alonso's been the one that's kind of been the big hitter for that group.
I agree.
You know, and you look at last year.
It was B. Riley.
Last year, the best guy receiving was Seathan Carter, but nobody really stepped up. Nobody else. You know, Seathan had 3 for 63, and that one long scamper he had. You got to remember, Nebraska didn't play very well, but they also split it 50-50 down the rushing and throwing.
Oh, you're talking about last week?
No, last year.
Oh, okay.
They ran it 34 times and threw it 31 times, but Tommy had one of his worst days because the weather was trash.
You're talking about last year, that game particularly at Illinois. Okay.
Yep. Remember, Jordan Westerkamp had 1 catch for -1 yards.
Yeah, it was not his. It was not a good day for Westerkatch.
But to finish this up, because I like to go to bed sometime this millennium.
Sometime this morning?
Yeah. Morning, millennium, whatever.
Well, it's dark near midnight here in the central time zone.
Oh, hush it. Anyway, I think the smarter they're going to be with play calling, I think they have a little more toys. They have some more stuff they can use. And let's face this thing about Lovie Smith, and you're the guy who lives and watches the Bears all the time. He's a cover two junkie.
What makes you think I watch the Bears?
Because you don't really have a choice some days.
I'm going to tell you what, and this pissed me off to no end. We had two late AFC games on CBS this past Sunday that could have been shown in my area. One was 2-0 Philadelphia against 2-0 Pittsburgh, and the other was like the Chiefs and the Jets or something like that. And wouldn't you know, they showed the Chiefs game, and which probably ended up being good that I didn't have to sit through the Steelers game, because that ended up being a bloodbath. But yeah, hey, Steelers, I get to watch them on Sunday night, so I'm excited about that. But I'm more for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's because of my involvement in Coronation or the fact that through Twitter I got to know, you know, like you and all the other great Husker fans out there more so than Steelers fans. But I used to be like more focused on the Steelers, but now like my focus is like I miss a Steelers game. It happens all the time, but I won't miss a Husker game. And I'll DVR it or watch it live. I will turn off my phone to not have outcomes spoiled. The Huskers are number one. Number one in my heart. Go Big Red. That's where you say something.
You know what the funny thing is before about this, everybody? As I had my microphone on mute.
Good job.
I said, Greg, I see you like 20 minutes tonight. Okay.
Well, that's a lesson for us to never, you know, get talking about recruiting.
Yeah.
All right. That does it for episode number 5 of the Five Heart podcast for my good friend and broadcast buddy Brian Toll. I am Greg Mahochko for Coronation, JitteryMonkey.com, saying reminding you as always that 5 hearts is all the heart you need.
This has been a production of Coronation.com. For more, like Coronation on Facebook, follow Coronation on Twitter, and bookmark Coronation.com in your favorite browser.